Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here alive.
Get it, Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it, Frank Live.
We gonna set this up right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig.
Correct. All right. So here it is. Two nights before. It's Friday and Sunday. We have ourselves the Grey Cup taking place at 6 o'clock. Now, I don't know if the game will start at 6, but they'll make the pretense that the game's going to start at 6. Between everything that happens from the time that they say it's going to start to the actual kickoff will probably be about a half hour, 35 minutes. But shoot for the 6 o'clock thing. That way you'll be ready wherever you are, whether it's in the stands or in a bar, a local, you know, establishment, or whether you'll be at a friend's house. I don't know exactly where I'm going tomorrow, but I am starting my weekend, the Hamilton Tiger Cat in the Grey Cup party in Hamilton. I'm planning on being in Hamilton just in case they win, because I want to get the video evidence and make sure that I'm there to see what a championship team in Hamilton is like. So there you go. It'll be a lot of fun. So the news around the CFL, we'll talk about a lot of stuff. There's some interesting stories out there. I mean, you know, you can start with the fact that the Gibson's Awards came out, and we can talk about the fact that Cornish, Labatt, Paradis, Hebert, won their awards for having great years, anything from player to also someone like the Pate or the Pate Award, which goes to the athlete, the CFLer, that does a lot of community service. And anyone that has followed this show since almost a year ago when it started knows that I am at the front of the list when it comes to appreciating the CFL, the players, and what they do in their community. So I don't think that award holds any less import than any of the other. Well, you know, since 1948, the Stampeder horse would go to every Grey Cup city, step on top of that little mat that opens the wide doors, because you can't shove a horse through a narrow door, so you got to do it through those wide doors that go whoosh, you know, like Star Trek. And only once has the horse been, how shall I say, rejected. That was here at the Royal York Hotel last year. This time it didn't happen. It made it into the hotel, and a tradition is maintained going back 52 plus 13 is 65 years. No, 55 years. So, you know, that's a pretty good pretty good record. Now, also, if you listened to the coaches' interviews, you heard that, well, you heard both coaches were asked about, you know, sex before the game. Chamblin and Austin Rack asked, and you know, I kind of find it kind of presumptuous. I don't even know if they like each other. Hello, is this thing working? Okay, well, maybe it isn't. That was a joke. All right. So now the other thing, one of the other things, of course, is we've got Ricky Foley that was here in Toronto. And he went to Saskatchewan for, excuse the expression, greener pastures. And those greener pastures were also chock full of green. You know, that kind of green that you fold up in your back pocket? There was a lot of that to be had for Ricky Foley as well. And an excellent opportunity to be on a team that dominated. And this team did dominate. It dominated in the first couple of games that were played against Hamilton this year. They were early in the season, and to suggest that that is the same team that they, the Saskatchewan Roughriders will be playing, would be an overblown oversight and miscalculation. Because, in fact, this Ticat offense and defense, this team, in fact, is a totally, totally different team. Little by little, almost week to week, starting early in the offseason when Kent Austin took over management of this team, the Hamilton Tiger Cats made changes, not just, as we all know, defense needed a lot of changes. They made them during the season as well. They grabbed a couple of Argos, ex-Argos, I should say, and they've done a lot of wonderful things in building this team. So on Sunday, like I said, around 6 o'clock when those players are standing on the field or working their way onto the field, running onto the field, whatever they're doing after 6 o'clock before the first kickoff, a lot of contemplation will be had by Saskatchewan Roughriders wondering how good this Hamilton team actually is right now. Now, having said that, Saskatchewan themselves have had low points this season, where they did not play that well. They lost against the Argonauts at home, who are no longer in the playoffs. So it is going to be an interesting game, to say the least, because you really can't go by the previous matchup, home and away, between these two teams earlier in the season. Tonight, I'm hoping to, since this is the penultimate show before the big game, maybe we can talk about maybe some of the best Grey Cup games in your recollection, most memorable, if you will. The best Grey Cup game by a player, maybe even, like Damon Allen, Dave Fennell, Doug Flutie, Normie Kwong, John Bonk, Sonny Wade, and now I'm starting to mention names that many of you don't know that I remember quite well and watched on TV. Even talk about some of those weather-related games. John Granger will be joining us, as I assume Manasseh Gebremadin will. And, of course, it is Friday, which means the original Aaron will be on the show, Aaron William Freeland. As he says, he will be there for background noise. And if he gets tired, there'll definitely be some background noise. Maybe even we can discuss the best celebration of the winning of the Grey Cup, the worst celebration of losing the Grey Cup. And we can also talk, not so much this week, but next show, we're going to review the Grey Cup, we'll have a lot to talk about, to argue about as far as why the game ended up the way it did. But I think what will be a lot of fun is in the coming weeks, we'll talk about some things like Tracy Hamm, coach of the Montreal Alouettes, my special guest. You didn't hear me say the special guest? You know, I didn't mention the special guest. I said I'd call him at 10:30. And right now it's only 8 minutes into the show, so... Do you guys ever get on the phone and talk to a friend and then your wife decides to be a part of what's going on? Some people are just getting overconfident here. Yeah, sure you are. Always, always, always trying to distract me. All right, so basically, the truth of the matter is, we're going to have an interesting show tonight. I've been asked if the show is going to go on into the off season. For those of you that are unaware, this show began with John and I, and even to a slightly lesser degree, Jamie Wolodarski and Argo Admiral, that you may know from the games with the striped face. That would be Jamie. And also, we're going to try something out. You know, I'm going to try it right now. What the heck? Let's try. I wonder if it, I got to see if it loaded, guys. I made a little tiny, tiny little commercial. It's only a minute and 17 seconds. We'll be back right after this. Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers, a fan supporter group of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. As a group, we have been dedicated to working hard at Argo games, screaming, yelling, and doing whatever it takes to distract the opposition in the CFL. Guess what? We have been noticed by many, including the Toronto Argonauts themselves. In fact, we have been noticed by you, the fans, as well. Even the players and coaches and all the Argo staff are pleased and appreciate our support. So much so that the season tickets are being offered to you, you, and you for next season for very close to half price. What do you have to do to share in this opportunity? Just use my name, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, when calling Argo sales rep Chris Andreoli at 416-341-2793. You heard it, nearly half price from Chris Andreoli at 416-341-2793. Just say Candid Frank Live Stanishi sent you. That number again, 416-341-2793. I hope I'll be yelling next to you in 2014. Argos! And it's true. I do hope that you will be there next to us, joining John Granger, like I said, Jamie Wolodarski. Robbie Richardson is, in fact, Robbie's going to be my sidekick. He's going to be sitting beside me, hopefully, if we can get the Argos to agree to such an agreement. We are hoping that that's the case. We will see. Now, I'm trying to get Aaron Russell, Mackenzie Nagy on here. Now, normally, you know, this is the kind of issue that's a production issue. So, Aaron, I'm going to post in. You say you have Skype. If you can get a computer and you go on Skype, I'm going to put the link up there in the message thing in Facebook. Okay, and what I need you to do is just click the link there. You'll go to the program. There's a Skype button, and then you can join us using Skype. Please try to do that. I apologize. For some reason, your phone number, which I cannot say on the air, I know I have the right number. I know I have the right number because I'm copying it. And I'll try it again. You know what? I'll do it on the air just to see what happens, so I can hear what happens. We haven't done this in a while, dialed the phone number on the air. It doesn't even start up. It's crazy, man. I called both John and Aaron William Freeland. And Mr. Nagy, you got to know honestly, I want to have you on the air. So I apologize for not being able to dial out to your number. I even tried placing the one in front. Okay, I wonder if he'll boot me off the show if I pick this up. If he boots me off the show, guys, you guys can take over here. I'll give the mic to... See, he's supposed to... He's supposed to use the link, not my personal email, not my personal one. Let's give it a here. Let me put John on so that at least we'll put you all on, guys, and then I'll see if I get booted off. This is too funny, man. All right, nope. Let's do. First of all, make sure the volume's low on your whatever device, Mr. Nagy. I'll answer you right now. Here we go. Let's see if I get booted. Hello.
You're still there, Frank.
I'm still here?
Yeah,
well, I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, good. I answered the call from Aaron Russell and Mackenzie Nagy. Are you there, Aaron? I mean Aaron Russell, Mackenzie? I answered your call. Okay, I need you to go on the link. I'm going to hit ignore right now so that I can get back to the show. So, guys, he's calling me again. It says missed call now. Aaron, call me on the show. Go to the link and then call the Skype button. Use the Skype button on the show. This is too funny, man. Anyway, all right, let's start with our introductions. We have John Granger with us. John, say hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, John. First thing, little plug for the folks that take the time to call the Argos. And let people know how welcome they are to be on the show and on our Argo Lifer section of three. I'm trying to concentrate on Nagy, and it isn't working.
Well, no worries, Frank. I have to say,
you know what I'm trying to say.
A nicely done on the little advertisement there. That's going to help. I understand that you have inquiries and people are inquiring about us as far as joining us and so forth. So at least now they have an avenue where they can use you and your guidance to guide them to a season ticket holder in Argo Lifer supporter section. That's great. Nicely done, Frank. I like that. And I can't believe it. Two more sleeps. And the Grey Cup
then,
is here, Frank.
And then the Grey Cup again. Like I said, I'm going to Hamilton to check out what the excitement will be like there. I'm really worried that there isn't going to be anything to be excited about other than the loss, because I really do think Saskatchewan is the favorite. But I am hoping, and above all hope, that the Ticats can win. And I'll be wearing an Angelo Mosca jersey. Angelo Mosca, back in the day when I was a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, when I was a very young child, or younger, youngish, he was my favorite player.
Nice.
It is nice. I know Aaron's here because I can hear the keyboard going crazy.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm connecting with some Marlies fans on Tumblr and Twitter.
There you go. No, that's cool. That's cool. Aaron, you made it on, Mr. Nagy.
Yes, we did.
There you go.
Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, thanks, guys. How's everyone doing?
Aaron, that was Aaron saying hello.
Aaron. Welcome to the show, Aaron. Welcome to the show.
Hey, finally. Not computer savvy. Radio announcer, not computer savvy. Figure that out.
There you go. And 661, we've got BC and Minnesota represented as well. Right, gentlemen?
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm
that's
here
BC. There you go. So we're all here. And so, guys, firstly and most importantly, let's go through the Gibson Awards one at a time, and get a feel for what you think of the award E, if you will. So we have MOP and MOC. I guess you could do MOP, MOC. His name's whatever. It sounds like a Mickey song. So what do you guys think of John Cornish taking both? Let's start with John. John, are you surprised that Cornish took both?
Well, it was he's competing with Ray, right? MOP, right? I think he got it and he deserved it. Ray didn't play the season. Cornish, it looked like he was always a vital part in their game plan. I mean, not to say that Ray isn't, but when Ray came back, you know, he came close to that Guelph game where he returned, and I thought if he would have won that, it would have maybe given him a little bit more credibility in competition with the award. But I got a problem with these awards, Frank. Television awards, sports awards, especially in sports awards, you're rewarding somebody. That's great. But, you know, there has to be, the follow-up award to that award, meaning who were the two assistants who helped him out, you know, co-stars, if you want to call it, who produced him to kind of play that season that well. Who were his two main blockers? Who participated in the plays the most with him? Unless there's that hashtag or whatever with that, I'm not into awards. So good for them. Awards, schmords. It identifies players for accomplishments. That's great. But unless it's got the linebackers that helped them clear the line, I don't like it. That's my beef. Can you guys tell I don't like awards?
No.
Okay.
Not in the slightest.
I mean, he only got the award because Ricky Ray was hurt for almost half the season, right? That's pretty
right.
much it. So we can all agree that Ricky Ray is the most outstanding player in the CFL.
You know what? That's only an assumption, and you guys know I'm a Ricky Ray fan. You guys got to know that, right? But I don't think a player who's injured for the amount of time that Ricky Ray was injured and doesn't have the numbers, the real numbers, the consistent numbers that a full season should show, I don't think it was a fair competition. I would have said that Burris had a better year than Ray. I hope my Argo fans don't kick me in the head.
No, I guess
I'm not
the easy
gonna,
way to
I'm
determine it is if all of you guys were picking a team right now and you had all the players available and you had the first pick, who are you picking? out of all the players in the CFL, that's it. That makes
Baltimore
him the
Ricky Stallion. Sorry. I couldn't resist. Sorry.
Okay. It's all right. I know, but I don't think of an award as something like that, because an award every year a different player gets it. Why? Because different players have the best year that year. And I just don't think it was a fair fight. Cornish, you know, he wasn't exactly around all year either. He had a short-term injury as well. So, you know, maybe I'm voting against myself. I just happen to think that Ray didn't play enough to be considered, in my opinion. That's all. Not that he doesn't have the talent or that he isn't a worthwhile, guy. It's just that didn't play enough, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. I would say that if it wasn't Ray or if it was another – I'm glad it's Ray, because people would say, well, you know, it's because he's not an Argo. But anyway, okay, Aaron Freeland, what do you think?
Sorry, hit me with the question again, Frank.
Cornish, winning both. Oh.
You know what? Honestly, he was a very vital part of the team this season. I think he did really well despite the fact that he had a little time off. I'm not going to begrudge him anything like that. There are other players I think as a personal preference, just because I'm biased towards my own team, that I would have voted for, but I can't really disagree with the choice.
Okay. How about Mike, you want to hit on it, on the MOP and the MOC, most, you know, he was also the most valuable Canadian as well. Menasse,
talking about Mike Townsend?
Menasse.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's not here.
No, I mean, he should have been most outstanding Canadian, but if you go most outstanding player, if we count playoffs, I got to go Darian Durant, to be honest with you. Because John Cornish, the last 3 years, I've never seen him do anything in the postseason. He was the no-show in last year's Grey Cup, didn't really do much in the playoffs. The year before that, nothing. 2010 West Final, he was a dud. So I think the playoffs should count in when we determine who's the most outstanding player. Because if you can't show up in the postseason at the end of the day, well, what does it really matter?
You know, that's a disease that every league has. You know that, eh, Menasse? It's not just the CFL that does that. And I guess they don't want to unlevel the playing field, no pun intended. Christopher, how do you feel?
Well, Jordan Cornish was the number one player in the CFL this year, period. I don't really think that that's up for debate. Ricky Ray would have been if he was healthy, but he's not, and that's the way it is. As far as him being the top Canadian, well, if he's the number one player, he has to be the top Canadian if he's a Canadian. So he deserved both of those awards this year. Beyonce, I don't disagree with you on that. If, you know, talking hockey for a second, the Sedins absolutely don't know how to show up in the playoffs, and the Canucks have proved that over and over and over again, but they're great players during the season, so why do you have them on your team? Because coming to the playoffs is more important than playing good all season. So he's going to bomb in the playoffs, but then, you know, we've gone round and round on what has happened in the playoffs in the last 2 or 3 years, and is it Cornish's fault?
You can't have it both ways, right? You can't say the reason he's there because of his team, and then the reason he isn't successful in the playoffs is because of his team, isn't because of his team, right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
You can't cut it both ways. So at the end of the day, the best player this year should be the best player this year. I understand that the debate on whether you include the playoffs tonight, and now Mike Townsend has just joined us. Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. Did you hear the question?
No, what was the question?
Okay. We're talking now about the Gibson Awards, and right now we're discussing John Cornish. I think we're pretty unanimous in suggesting that there's no doubt he's the MOC, the most the most valuable Canadian. The question was, do you feel that he also was the MOP?
Yeah, he was the MOP. Look what he did through the whole season. I mean, look at his team's record. You know, it speaks for itself. I mean, he led the league in rushing.
And also, no other player showed as much for as long as he has, right, this year?
No, they really didn't. They really didn't. John Cornish this year ran with a purpose. You can tell every time he got the ball, he ran with the purpose. He was bowling people over like bowling pins. I mean, making people miss tackles. I mean, he had a purpose. He was trying to lead his team to the Grey Cup, even though, you know, they fell short. But, you know, John Cornish did his thing.
Beautiful.
I just wish he would have showed up more in the playoffs, but, you know, stuff happens.
There you go. It is what it is. Aaron Nagy.
Absolutely, John Cornish, despite me despising him being a Rider fan and all, he did have one heck of a season. He put the numbers up. He was consistently around the 100-yard mark a game, if not, I think his average when he was playing was like 120 a game because he missed a couple games there. But just absolutely amazing player. Ricky Ray should have been considered, but the thing is he didn't play. He missed, what, four or five games or a bit more than that? And,
yep.
Of course, they're going to take effect to that because they're going to be saying, well, if he was around for the extra four or five games, what if? The big question is, what if? You know, that's the biggest two-letter word is if. But the main thing is Cornish got it this year, and congratulations to him, and well-deserved with over 1,800 yards rushing. That's, I think, the second most all-time for a Canadian.
Yeah, and only the third Canadian to accomplish both feats.
Exactly. So that's pretty high praise. And you know what? Rumor is that he could be the Canadian Athlete of the Year with the Associated Press, which would be the first time that happened since, I believe, Russ Jackson. That's a few years ago.
He has been a dominant Canadian at a position that isn't predominantly, you know, inhabited by Canadians.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's good to see. It just shows that our Canadian game with the CFL, you know, the state of the dress that we had today with the commissioner, that the CFL is growing. It's popular. Our game is in good hands. And you know what? There's lots of boys and girls out there playing football. It's big. And you know what? They have these idols to look up to. And with the CFL being big, we're going to be set for Canadian talent for the few years to come.
We will be rewinding that speech. I might even play the whole thing come Wednesday after our Monday wrap-up of the Grey Cup show. And we can start talking about the upcoming season. But for now, let's stick to the preliminaries as far as the Grey Cup is concerned and setting up what's going to happen at the Grey Cup. And also, you know, I think it's the right time to talk about the best players. The defensive player – oh, wait, hang on. I forgot Bruce John Inch. Bruce Cornish, MOP, MOC,
M-I-C-K-E-Y. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Everything with what your last caller said, too. Proud to be Canadian, proud to have a Canadian up there. Like you said, it's only happened three times. So if anybody deserves it, John Cornish deserves that last night.
Yeah, you know, and I think he should be invited to the Grey Cup party in Hamilton when they bring the Grey Cup to City Hall.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I love it.
Yep. Have the mayor. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Bruce, is it true? I heard a rumor the other day that I was told that the Canadian government sent you a letter asking you to change your name from inch to centimeter.
No, that was back in the Trudeau days, buddy.
That was back in the Trudeau days.
Yeah, man. My dad told me a story. He got sent a letter and he wanted them to switch the family name to 2.5 centimeters. Yeah, that's an old one, though, buddy. But
that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that, Bruce. I like that.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
And you guys, back in the 70s, the CFL got a letter that says instead of using yards, we're going to have to switch you over to meters.
Yeah, that was a battle for a little while. It actually was. You remember that? Can you imagine having to make 10 meters on two downs?
Oh, we laugh.
And
we
were short by a millimeter, and that's what she said.
Hey, is Manasseh on tonight?
Yes,
yeah, I'm right here, man.
This is coming.
Hey, what's going on, Manasseh?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. I got something to tell you after the show.
All right.
Why can't you tell him now?
It's about Arena Football League. It's about Arena Football, right?
No. It's not about Arena Football. It's about indoor football. Y'all got a team up there in Minnesota this year, man, expansion team.
Okay.
Huge difference.
Okay.
Well,
I didn't mean to open up that can of worms. Go ahead, Frank.
All right. All right. So now everybody's had their chance, right? Everybody's had their chance to discuss the MOP, MOC, MICKEY. Everybody's had a chance to talk about that. Let's move on to the defensive player, Brendan Labatt. Manasseh?
You mean Chip Cox?
You
said defensive
player. Okay, yeah. Sorry, Chip Cox.
Yeah, didn't he? I think he led the league in tackles, and he was just a couple shy of the record.
Yeah, he had 114.
Yep.
Yeah. So is that what you have to say good about him, and you agree that he should have been the guy? I'm sorry, Labatt's the one that he beat out. I apologize to Chip Cox and his family. Bruce, what do you think? What do you think of Cox? Finish your thought.
I thought he did okay. I'm kind of partial to my Ticats, but you know, yeah, he deserved it. We didn't have anybody running in that one, so. But yeah, I agree.
Aaron William Freeland, do you have a comment on that?
I do not, sir.
Okay, let's move on to John Granger.
Ah, get out of here. I told you I hate awards. Waste of time. It's
Christopher.
I'm sorry, John. I totally set you off for that one.
You know what the best? Let's talk about the award that everybody gets. I hate these freaking awards, man.
Hang on,
it's great.
I still want to
you look
talk
it
about
up.
Christopher. Christopher Chip.
Get off your podium, John. Chill out. I'll tell you what. I have a problem with the defensive award because it does not necessarily do justice to the player. And I'm going to give you the example of it being won last year by J.C. Sherritt over Adam Big Hill. Big Hill had less tackles, but way more for loss of yards or limited yards. J.C. Sherritt he was tackling them after 10, 12, 15 yards. He was also on the field for more than twice the amount of defensive plays than Adam Big Hill was because Edmonton's defense sucked and everybody is walking all over top of him. So Adam Big Hill was on the field less times and almost got as many tackles. So he did a much better job for his team than what J.C. Sherritt did, although he was an outstanding player without question. So that award went to the wrong person last year. So the criteria for the defensive award doesn't most amount of tackles doesn't make sense. It's not, you know, where
I mean, following that logic,
you could
say,
hang on,
Chris,
hang on. Let Christopher finish, and Manasseh, you can come in. Now that I know you want to come in,
go. If that is
go.
The only criteria that this award is based on, which is most amount of tackles and whoop-de-doo, then, then he deserved the award. And Chip Cox got the award this year, and he was an outstanding linebacker this year. He was better than anybody else in the league, and I have absolutely no problems with him winning the award, but the criteria of the award sucks.
Okay. It's like the in the old days, the MVP in hockey was the guy who scored the most goals.
Right.
And it wasn't about overall player. Right, so they invent all these other awards. So, like, I get what you're saying. You know, it's too hard. If I'm getting what you're saying, and Manasseh, you know what, you can jump in. You sounded like you wanted to debate that with him. Please, be my guest.
No, I'm just saying following that same criteria, then you could make the same case against Cornish because we all know, hands down, Ray is the better player, and he's the guy that's been more effective, even though he had less time and may have been injured. He's done more and has a bigger impact on his team, where Cornish, at times, the guy looks invisible, and then he'll have another game where he'll be great, but there's not a single game where Ray doesn't have a huge impact on the Argos. So, you know, I just think Cornish got it on default because so many guys got hurt, and it just came down to him being one of the few guys that played out the whole season.
You know what? I agree with that. That's where I was trying to come from. But that doesn't mean that he didn't have a great year, right?
Yeah, he plays for Calgary, so I'm a little bit partial against him, but just whatever. He got it.
Well,
it's done.
Let's try to set aside our biases a little bit and speak, you know, to the individual and their ability, not the uniform they wear, because at this point, you might as well just admit the fact that it isn't about the uniform, it's about the individual, but unfortunately you're right because the rest of the players have an impact on what goes on. And football's kind of hard, if I'm going to pick up on what Christopher was saying, and I totally agree with him. And I agree with the fact that some of these awards are kind of useless because there is such a different dynamic. I don't think any sport more than football has the enviable position or unenviable position to try and pick players out of a group that do so many different things. Is that part of what you're saying, Christopher?
Sorry, I was lost focus there. What was that?
No, it's okay.
I was just saying that.
Part of the reason why I was trying to piggyback on what you were saying and what I'm going to say is that in football, the definition and the action of an individual player varies from position to position, unlike any other sport. And therefore, it makes it difficult to quantify what a guy does. Like I was listening to your response. You get the guy at the line has the first opportunity to stop the running back. The guy back, you know, depending on who he plays for, you know, different players do a different thing depending on who they're up against. And you know, like if you have a lousy line, then, of course, the safety's going to be making a lot of plays. It'll be 20 yards field, but it's going to be a lot of plays, if I understand what you're saying.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's a team sport, and it has to be. I mean, the people who are winning the sack tally for the year, is it because they are the best defensive rush ends out there, or is it because their DBs are doing a hell of a job shutting down the receivers and the quarterback's got nothing else to do?
Exactly.
So,
okay.
Football's a team sport. To bring out an individual award, as John will say here, is silly and ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Because the
criteria
can't be met properly. It's not an individual sport.
Okay, we're going to continue our discussion. Our discussion about the most valuable players and the players that win the awards. But we've got another special guest on tonight. It's becoming a habit, and I kind of like having ex-players on here to help us to give us their perspective on players and how the game is played and how the teams will do in the Grey Cup. Our guest tonight. He played for the Toronto Argonauts. He played for the Edmonton Eskimos. This is just last year. None other than Corey Boyd. Last year when he was released by the Argos and ended up in Edmonton, he was leading the league in rushing, which basically takes us to our point. Corey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I'll introduce you to who's here. Bruce John Inch. He is a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan. Aaron William Freeland. He is a fan of the Toronto Rock. John Granger, whom you know.
What? What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's going on over there?
Long time no see, bro. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, from Minnesota, we have a CFL fan that lives in Minnesota, Manasseh Gibber-Medin. And Manasseh, say hello to Corey.
Hey, what's up, Corey? What's going on, man?
Bless up. How's everything going?
Going great.
We also have a BC fan. Christopher's on the line as well. Christopher Jones, not to be confused with the defensive coordinator of the Toronto Argonauts.
That guy talks funny.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, Corey. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good.
We also have Aaron Nagy. He is from Saskatchewan, Yorkton, Saskatchewan, a Saskatchewan Rider fan. Aaron,
okay,
say hello to Corey Boyd.
Corey, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me and congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And finally, from Michigan, we have Mike Townsend, another CFL fan, and also, God forbid, an arena football fan as well.
Hey, what's up, Corey?
How you doing?
Gamecocks, baby, Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah, I got my hoodie on right now, sitting in front of the TV, looking for tomorrow to come.
Yeah,
there you
man.
Go. Now, Corey, welcome to the program. Tell us.
I never got a chance to say hi. How you doing, Corey?
Aaron.
Bruce, still teeth man here.
Oh,
how you doing? Good, buddy. Hey, man,
I'm not going to lie. I don't like the Eagles, but I respected you when you played for them, man. And I think personally you got screwed over. Okay, let's move on.
Okay. So Corey.
Call him what you say.
So, Corey, I apologize for Bruce asking the question that I'm sure everybody wants to ask you. Do you want to answer the question? How did you feel about being let go by the Argos when you did? Do you mind talking about that? If you don't, we'll move on. It's no big deal.
I never have any hard feelings about anything. You know, it's the game. It's the business. You know, they made a choice business-wise to move forward, and it planned out very well for them.
Okay, let him talk, Bruce.
No, it was just an opportunity for them to move forward, and you know they did, and you know my hats go out to that organization. You know they've turned things around from being a team that only won 7 games in 2 years to turn out and win the Grey Cup, and then also make that run that they did this year as well. So, you know, Toronto Argonauts, hats off to you, and keep pushing. You know, next year is around the corner. And just keep working hard. You'll get the program right where you need it to be.
Corey, let's talk a little bit and give you a chance to catch us up to speed, what you've been doing in the past little while. I know you do a lot of charitable work. Why don't you list some of the stuff that you're doing right now so that we know what King Corey Boyd is up to?
Oh, man, it's a lot of things that I have on my plate right now, between, you know, building a business for sports skills development for the youth, and also balancing trying to create a nonprofit to help out the inner city youth as well. I'm doing a lot as far as trying to build, you know, a great, you know, camaraderie and awareness about football that we have here already in the GTA, but because I've had great experiences at the pro level, you know, also at the NCAA level and also in high school, I want to give back somehow, some way, with all the experiences that I've had. So I'm just reaching out to a lot of community centers and a lot of, you know, independent businesses that are looking to, you know, build this football awareness.
Also, you're working within you're basically trying to raise funds for youth. And one of the ways you're doing it is you're asking fans if they have old Corey Boyd jerseys that they're willing to put up for auction for charity. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, no, I was just collecting jerseys, you know. Not too many people, you know, need to wear them anymore. You know, I don't want them to just be hanging up on the wall when there's a lot of young kids out there that I'm reaching that, you know, are looking to have a professional athlete in their homes just to sit down and mentor them. And it's just something that, you know, I want to be able to give back to the kids. If you have any jerseys that you're not using, or, you know, you feel like that just takes some space up in the closet, you know, you can swing them past my way. I'll sign them up, and I'll get them to some kids that are, you know, loving the game of football, loving Argos, loving, you know, CFL and what's going on right now, and, you know, in youth football, what's taking place now.
Yeah, you've spent some time also helping some of the former Argos that coach out in the Oakville area. You've done some coaching as well, helping kids along as well, right?
Yeah, I took some time this off season, well, this past season, now that the season is almost over, just reaching out to a lot of high schools and youth football programs, you know, out there in Newmarket, the Newmarket Bucks, and just trying to help them as far as building their football programs out there. I know a lot of schools are in their first years of getting football programs up and going. So I was able to reach out and help a lot of their players. And I also had a couple of young kids that I was mentoring earlier from in March when I first started doing my skills development program. I had them go out and work hard, and they just also won their championship. So I just want to give you know, a big congratulations to Huron Heights Junior football team and Colin Grant for going out there and winning the championship. Great guys out there, and you know, these kids are loving the sport of football, and you know, we just got to have the right coaching out there and get them the right publicity and marketing that they need.
Okay, Corey, we were talking about the awards, and we started, and you came just in time, well, almost just in time. As far as awards go for the most valuable, well, the MOP, the most outstanding player, John Cornish won it. What can you tell us about John Cornish? You had the chance to run against him. You had a chance to play in the Western Division. Tell us a little bit about John Cornish and what makes him so special in your mind.
John Cornish is a great athlete. I've watched him when he was at Kansas. He always ran, you know, hard. He always had that breakaway speed. He always had great vision, one move downhill, you know, and I loved to watch him play even when he was behind, you know, the other running back that they had over there in Calgary before he stepped in and took over. You know, I just love watching the kid just go out there and perform over and over, you know, silencing his critics. And he deserved everything that he got this year. He worked hard. He put his team on his back even when they went through the quarterback carousel. He always was the best consistent thing that their offense had. So I like watching him. He kept the game interesting. He kept the position of running back alive in the CFL.
And he also won, I guess, MOP automatically. If he wins MOP, he's got to be the best Canadian. What is it about? Can you tell us, as an American player, how surprising is it to see a successful running back like Cornish in the Canadian Football League or football in general? Is it very surprising for you from where you stand and where your experience?
No, I don't believe it's surprising at all. You know, John Cornish is a great kid. He has great work ethic. You can tell by the way, you know, he goes out there and play the game. And, you know, him having the opportunity to go and play in the States as well, getting the feel of that game, and also, you know, growing up watching the CFL, I'm pretty sure, you know, he gave a lot of kids hope. And that's what we're all about doing right now, is being professionals in the CFL or the NFL. We want to build hope for the youth and for the kids coming up. And, you know, working out, I believe he has a great work ethic that he can, you know, display to kids and help kids. So I think that's what it's more so about.
Defensively, we moved on to the most valuable defensive player. We'll catch you up to where we're at. And we have Chip Cox. Do you remember playing against him at all?
Oh, yeah, Chip Cox, he was always around the football. You know, he was one player that, you know, on Montreal, you couldn't get away from. You know, he was like Spider-Man. He'd be on your back any way that he can so he could get to that ball. So, you know, I always remember Chip Cox. He had run a play down from all the way from the other end of the field if you gave him an opportunity to do it. So
it's no surprise to you that he won the award this year.
No, not at all. You know, hard work pays off. You know, for years he's been doing it at the highest level. And, you know, even when the defense went through so many changes and their team went through so many coaching changes, you know, he still was out there being the most consistent thing on their defense, you know, in their secondary. So, you know, hats off to him and what he's done for that organization. And, you know, good luck to him in the future.
All right. So that catches us up with as far as what we've done for the most valuable players. Now, guys, one at a time, I'm going to ask you if you have a question for Corey. Can we start with Bruce? Do you want to ask him a question? I know you basically already asked him one question, but let's try one. Do you have a different one to ask him?
I do. As a fan, I have no idea about this, but since you played in Toronto for 6 games last year, do you get a Grey Cup? Do they present you with a Grey Cup ring?
No, not at all. I think because they cut ties with me, you know, before they went on their run, and it was early in the season. You know, once you get released from a team and another team picks you up, you know, you're just somebody else's gold and then somebody else's, you know, trash. So you don't get anything from it.
Really? Well, speaking from a fan's point of view, I think that's wrong, you know, because you gave Toronto some good years, buddy, and I wish you all nothing but the best, whatever you do in life.
Thank you, sir. That means a lot coming from, you know, fans nowadays. You know, I don't have too many that, you know, speak or remember who I am sometimes, or they act like they don't remember who I am. So that means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for everything you did for the Eagles. Not that I like the Argos, but you are great. You know, you did them good, bud.
Thank you.
Let's go a different direction. We'll go with somebody that does remember Corey and actually likes Corey because he was an Argo when he was an Argo. John Granger.
Well, thanks, Frank. And I was gonna go last, but I'm gonna ask you, Corey. Right now, you got that Corey Boy performance going on, and you have a lot of youth participating in this. Has that been what you've anticipated that it was going to turn out to be, or is it something that you need some more help in?
It's a growing process, you know. I can't say I have everything down packed, but I do have a great vision. I have a great mission, and, you know, from where I started it to where I am now, I feel comfortable. You know, I don't want to miss any, you know, key details along this way as a businessman. You know, I'm setting up a legacy, you know, something for my children and their children to have as they grow. You know, I may not have all the money in the world, but I do have a good mindset to, you know, set something for the future and any other kids that are, you know, coming up in Canada and in the world that want to play the game of football. I want to be able to help.
Well, Corey, I'm just going to give a follow-up on that. Let me just give him a follow-up, Frank. The Argo Lifers, you know, Corey, when we started the supporter section and everything, I wanted you in there. Well, I'm going to do one step a little bit better. For next year, for each game, I'm going to donate two tickets for your kids that are in your program to bring them in so we can get them started in our supporter section and get them hooked on it. How's that?
That sounds amazing. That is a blessing all in itself. Thank you.
So when we get off the show, like I said, that's why I said at the beginning, we'll talk, okay? But I just want to help you out in that program, and that's why having you on again, you are one of our very first guests that came on without any hesitation. Just wanted to thank you and thank you again for letting these guys who are listening in now, letting you know what kind of a heart and soul you got.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. You know, it's good to know that there are good-hearted people still out there who care and, you know, like the game of football, well, actually love the game of football as much as I do. So, you know, thank you guys for the support and love that you always gave and give.
Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. Thank you, John, and that's a real good thing that you're doing. And we know that sometimes we discuss if I can – put a period at the end of that sentence. We talk about how affordable the CFL is, and I know everybody in this room knows that in comparison to other sports, the CFL, you get a lot of value for a very small price. But still, it's a big price for some kids who can't even afford the price that a CFL ticket is for. So, John, you have to be congratulated. And later on down the road, we're promoting, you know, selling of tickets, and hopefully people come to the Argo games. And, John, we might be able to work something out that for every five people that come in and buy a season ticket, we might be able to give away another ticket to an underprivileged kid. We should be looking into that as well.
Well, you know what? We got to start somewhere, right? So I just want to let him know that I'm committed to helping him out, and it's the best place to be in if you want to have kids in your program and you're kind of spreading the football knowledge and it's going through you, Corey, then I'd like to have those kids, the ones that you pick out, okay, that have been performing the best and giving it their all, having some sort of incentive, and then you send them into our section, and they'll even have a better time remembering the fact that you sent them there. You feel me?
Definitely. Thank you.
All right.
I understand.
Looking
forward
all right.
to
it.
Let's go to the Corey, we're going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum, where because you're an Argo, you probably don't get much credit. Manasseh, you have a question for Corey?
No, I don't, man. Are you still trying to get back in the league, or you moved on from football?
No, you know, that football is always in my heart, man. You know, just because 1 year, one season has gone by, I'm still young. I still got, you know, fresh legs. I still got a lot to give to this game. You know, my time was cut very shortly, you know, right when I was hitting my stride. But, you know, I can't change that. I'm just going to keep working hard, keep training. I'm at the best way that I can ever be. Feeling, you know, good and going into, you know, when the next season starts up, you know, hopefully Ottawa, you know, picks up the phone or I can, you know, get a tryout with someone. that's all I need is my foot in the door, you know. My resume speaks for itself, you know. It just takes for another team to give me an opportunity the same way Toronto gave me an opportunity.
So are you planning on heading down to Florida, Texas for the Ottawa Red Blacks tryouts?
Listen, if that's what it takes, then I may have to go do that, you know. But what it looks like right now is that, you know, I have my agents working on my behalf when doing that. You know, I do my best part is, you know, just staying in shape and, you know, marketing this business, getting this brand right. And however God lays everything out on the table, that's the way I go.
How about you, Christopher?
First off, John, I really think that's a wonderful thing for you stepping up. You know what? I appreciate that. That was a good gesture.
Thanks,
Corey. You're amazing out in the field. I really appreciate and respect your abilities and talents. They're quite spectacular. Off the field, I have no words for what you're doing. It is just unbelievably awesome. I have another very good friend of mine, Willie Loftus, who won a ring with the Alouettes and the BC Lions, is running a program out in the BC coast here called Game Ready Sports, bringing underprivileged kids into playing football, giving them mentorships in life, in football, in everything. If you two should tag up somehow, if you want to get a hold of Willie, get a hold of me, and I'll put you guys in touch. Two programs running on opposite sides of the country. They should be doing some like-minded brainstorming.
I'd
love to put you in touch with Willie.
Yes, definitely. Networking is always good.
Even if you don't work together, you can give each other some insights and you know, an idea maybe that'll help you out in what you're trying to do as well. So it doesn't have to lead to a partnership. Just a conversation will help.
No.
Definitely.
We're just football brothers, right? We're all
we're
all brothers in the same cause.
There you
go. Definitely. We want to
Aaron
build
Nagy.
The sport of football.
You're next.
Okay, I do. My question for you, Corey, is, Corey, you spent some time in the NFL back in 2008 and then obviously came here to Canada to play with the Argos and the Eskimos. What did you find that the biggest adjustment was from the American game to our Canadian game for you?
The game of football never changes. You know, the little tweaks and, you know, little gidgets and gadgets that, you know, the CFL has, you know, that's what makes it a lot interesting and more different from the NFL. You know, the field being a lot wider and a lot bigger. You know, that's just more room to get more opportunity to make plays, along with the extra player on the field. You know, it changes a little bit, but, you know, the downs and everything still flows the same, you know. Nothing out of the way. So I just love playing it. It really did make a big adjustment for me at my position for running back. You know, you still have to block, you still have to catch the ball out the backfield, and you still have to make big runs. So, you know, it was a big difference for me.
Have you got any interest in playing arena football? Our next question comes from Mike Townsend.
Hey, Clay, how you doing, man?
Football.
Hey, you know what? I was gonna ask you that too. Have you got in contact with any arena leagues or indoor leagues you playing?
No, not any arena teams. I think those leagues are more catered for the receivers, which I have no problem playing that position or doing that. You know, I have the body structure for it, and you know I can trim down, slim up. You know, I have that type of regimen to change my body and transform it to whatever I need. You know, I'm an athlete. I love the game of football. So, you know, looking at it, hey, if I wanted to take that shot and put my body out there to do it, hey, I might give them a call.
Okay.
There you
okay.
go.
And I want to tell everybody, arena football is different from indoor football. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Huge.
In about
indoor
a week,
football.
we'll discuss the intricacies of the game. Right now, let's stick to the CFL. Mike, no, I'm not shutting you
Corey,
down, right,
buddy? Who you got for the Grey Cup? Who you got winning?
That's kind of tough. I like what's going on with, you know, Saskatchewan. But, you know, it's been a long time coming for the Ticats. You know, I know my man Hank You know, been watching his career for some time now. You know, coming from the West and then taking it, bringing it over here to the East, and the team not having really a home to play this year. I think this is a story that a lot of people need to get behind. I'm going with Hamilton. I'm going with Hamilton. I like them a lot because they're right down the road. So I'm going to go with them. This is one time. I'll go with them.
There you go, Corey.
We got one more on our side.
Yes, sir.
There's another
we'll take
one.
It. We'll take it.
There's another
one. And I'll tell you why it also as well. You know, I know the rivalry. I've been there. You know, if any team from the East that, you know, deserves to be up there playing and representing, you know, that East division, you know, I think Hamilton can hold it down for us this year. You know, they haven't been there in quite some time, but I think they have the weapons offensively and defensively to go out there and you know, impose their will if they wanted
Corey.
It that bad.
Corey, I got a question for you regarding the game. How do you think the weather is going to come into play? Who is it going to favor? Who do you think, knowing these guys?
I believe the weather will favor Saskatchewan, but I believe that because the Ticats are coming with that emotion right now, they're hitting that stride the same way, you know, Toronto did last year. They caught fire at that right moment, and everything was just uphill from there. And I think the same thing is going to happen with Hamilton, because right now they have a lot of momentum on their side, no home, fighting for each other in that locker room, you know, coaches and all. I think they have a great opportunity. I think it's a great storyline for this year's Grey Cup, and I think everybody needs to join behind, you know, Hamilton.
Bruce likes that.
I love that.
So does Mike Townsend.
Yes, sir.
The only guy that doesn't like it is Minnesota Mike.
Manassas.
Right, Mike?
And he's just picking them because he played for the Argos and he still likes the East. That's why. At the end of the day, everybody knows the Riders are going to win.
Minnesota Mike.
But, I mean, just keep it real. Everybody on this line knows if they have to put money down or they had a gun to their head, they're picking Saskatchewan. Every time. That's a fact.
You just pick Hamilton because you want them to win.
That's all.
Okay.
So Corey,
against Saskatchewan, they have a good team. They have great talent on their team. Guys that I've played with on both sides when I played for Edmonton and when I played with the Argos. So I know they have a great team, and I know Coach Chamberlain is going to have those guys ready to play. But I just think it's something in the storyline. If you just look at, you know, the past couple of years and the storylines of how the teams have won, you got to look at what the adversity they went through and how the storyline went and where the passion was. You know, this team has a great opportunity. You know, at the beginning of the year, I would have said Saskatchewan all the way, hands down, you know, the way, you know, Sheets was running the ball, Durant was throwing the ball, Dressler out there catching it like Spider-Man. It was just lovely. But then when they hit that reality check and they started going on those losing, I said, you know, there's something, they have a weakness, you know, they have a kryptonite. So, you know, and I think Hamilton has a great opportunity, you know.
Nice. Nice analyst. You got to start doing some TSN stuff. That was a pretty good breakdown.
Hey, if they want to get me on there, I love the breakdown.
No, we want to see you in the Red Blacks uniform. That's what I want to see you.
I
want
to see it too. I've been dreaming about it for the past year. You know.
Okay, you keep that faith because you know what it is. Visualize and it'll happen, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why I haven't stopped doing what I'm doing. You know, I could have went back to the States and, you know, went on about life, but I came to Canada to make a difference, and the stage of football has been, you know, my holy grail and everything, you know, to get me to the nation and everybody else. So I want to be able to get back to that level. If I can't, it's okay. I'll teach other kids how to, you know, respond to that level of being a pro and getting to that level. So,
awesome.
Corey, you've been.
Yes.
If I can be the tough interviewer here.
Mm-hmm.
Some suggested that one of your biggest problems in sticking with the Argos and playing on a team is your individuality. Not that you don't like anybody, but that you keep to yourself. Do you think that's something that you may need to change moving forward? Be more of a team guy, a guy who who associates with the rest of the team and sets aside your individual thinking and your individual beliefs?
My individual beliefs and how I carry myself is the same as anybody in the locker room. You know, there's no difference. That's not a big issue. I've always been a team guy. If you ask any of my teammates that you play with me, I go out there, I play hard. I'm the first person to say, hey, where's the ideas? If things are not working, whatever you want to do, put it on my back. I'm one of those type of guys. I'm not a guy that, you know, is looking for attention on the field. I just want to do my job. Give me a plan of action, and I'll go out there and I'll do it. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, people are going to believe and assume whatever they want to assume. But for me, I'm going to continue to be the caring, giving, loving person, you know, ride or die person when it comes to playing this game of football, no matter what. You know, if my career ended then, you know, it was a good ride. If it continues going forward, you know, thank you, fans, thank you, God. And, you know, I'm going to always be that way. I'm no different from anybody else that plays this game, you know. So it's all love.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to imply that you intentionally separate yourself from people. I just meant some people may misunderstand an individual. It's not about being Corey Boyd. It's about being a different type of human being that prefers quiet time as opposed to being in the middle of the shouting and yelling. Do you know what I mean? You're more of a laid-back guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just like to take it all in. You know, this game of football, it comes and it goes. I've seen both sides of it. And if you don't take the time really to step back from it all and focus on what you have in this moment to accomplish and to complete, you're going to miss out on a great opportunity. You know, every time that I heard Pinball Clemens speak and he say that this game of football is not given to you. You know, it's a privilege. You know, a lot of us as athletes, we don't understand that because we've been playing it all our lives. But then when, you know, you get to a certain level where, you know, you're judged off of different performances and other politics, you know, it changes the game. It changes the game. And if you're not focused and not going out to party and not going to do all these other things, you know, if you stay in that zone of what you're trying to accomplish is get a goal, get that championship goal, then, you know, you're not doing yourself any justice if you're just going out and doing anything else. I focus on playing ball. When I'm done with ball, I'll do everything else.
Good for you, man. Okay, we're going to take a short break, guys. We'll be right back. We'll continue with our little discussion about who got the awards and what we think of those awards, and we'll move on to, obviously, talking about the Grey Cup. We've been really hammering this thing out for the past week or so, and we'll continue doing so with Sunday coming rather quickly, and soon, before you know it, we'll have to figure out who the winner is. At least we'll get a chance to hear who the winner might be. We'll be back right after this.
You know I like my ride of pride, green and white on a Friday night. My watermelon fits just right in Big Dog. I was raised up beneath the shade of Mosaic Stadium, and that's home, you know, with Fan 2's Durant and Coach Miller. Where TD's all thrown, the Grey Cup, man, that's what is going on. And it's filled with the love that's grown in Saskatchewan. And a whole lot of ride or pride, green and white on a Friday night. My watermelon fits just right in Big Dog. I seen the Grey Cup rise, seen the pride in Austin's eyes. And a whole lot of rider pride, and you know a fan's love.
All right, Titans! Go Cats, go! Everybody ready to ask you, we need to ask you, we need.
We have a cover in our pit. Come check us out at Games Park Festival. You can check us out on YouTube also.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat! Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
To the Candace Frank Live Show.
Oh my God.
One, two, three. We're the Argos Cheerleaders. And you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Woo. Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There we go, Frank.
Thank you.
Yes. If I can take a moment at this time to remind everyone that 50 years ago today, on a Friday, November 22nd, 1963, a president with a different perspective on life was assassinated by a fellow citizen's three bullets, I guess. And I don't think the world's been the same since. I hope we don't forget also that Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were killed as well, and by the same hatred. Today, Dallas, Texas, tried for the first time to acknowledge the fact that President Kennedy was killed in their city. Dallas had a reputation of being the hate city, almost the hate capital of the world. Well, hopefully that's changed. And hopefully in 50 years it can change. But here's a few words from a man who, when he spoke, it was hard not to feel empowered by his words.
First, examine our attitude towards peace itself. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man.
You know, I've listened to many of this man's speeches, and that one, and guys, I mean this seriously, that almost sounds like a football speech, in the sense that victory lies within you. You need not lose. Which also goes well towards life. So as human beings, we have control over our lives. We have control over our beliefs. And this is why, and I mean this seriously, this is why, Manasi, I know you're a God-fearing guy. I believe that the Thai Cats can win because... quite frankly, nobody is destined for losing. We all have the opportunity to make a difference and create a good end in our lives. And I hope and know that a lot of football players spend a lot of time and have a reputation for being very religious, which is great. Sometimes it's misinterpreted. But again, what I just said right now, if you play that thing again and you listen to it, you could almost switch words around there and make it about winning. It'd be a great motivator for football as well as life, needless to say. Okay, guys, we're back, and as promised, we'll continue and try to wrap up our conversations about the players that won the awards. And if you want to take a pass, take a pass. If you want to speed things along, so we move or make it as brief as possible. But we left at Brendan Labatt losing to Chip Cox on the defensive side of the awards. I think, guys, I'm just going to say Rene Paradis, no doubt. Corey, he deserved to win, don't you think?
I think he had a great opportunity. You know, I really don't know how the fans and how everyone gets awarded that. And you know, Chip Cox, man. That's all. Chip Cox, man. You know?
I hear you.
It's hard. It's hard. But you know, hats off to all the nominees. Period. Who got elected for that? You know, it just tell you that hard work does pay off. No matter if you get the award or not, you know, just know that you're nominated for doing something excellent throughout a whole year is amazing.
All right. So we know John doesn't like awards. And we know that Manasseh doesn't like anybody but Saskatchewan. So I guess Manasseh, do you want to pipe in here? Do you want to comment on him winning this award? I mean, it's just pretty much a slam dunk, no?
Yeah, well, what's up with Calgary getting all these awards, man? Seriously. It's just,
well, if you can't get a Grey Cup rank, you might as well get an award.
Right. No, the only guy I agree with on the awards is Paradis and Chip Cox. I think that's the two guys we all know deserve it.
Yeah.
Christopher, what do you think?
He didn't bust that record. He blew it on that kick. It was a kick. You can't call that a fumble. That was ridiculous. That was the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard.
Aaron Nagy, you want to jump in here before Chris takes this one back home again?
Okay. I'm going to quickly check Cox. He had 115 yards, 114 tackles, and won the award. Something I want to quickly comment on is the fact that Alcohol a monster season in Winnipeg that's traded to Saskatchewan, so he's basically of the award because of the fact he wasn't the defensive player for Saskatchewan in their eyes because he wasn't there long enough to be nominated for that. Whereas if he was still in Winnipeg, he probably could not maybe beat out Chip Cox that. Alex Hall should have been nominated for the Player of the Year, even though he was in Winnipeg 3/4 of the year, got his, his sacks and all that, and then he came to Saskatchewan and get the, with the nod.
Well, you get the home Grey Cup game. I guess you don't get many awards. Mike Townsend, do you want to pipe in on Paradis? Do you think that was a slam dunk?
For Chip Cox, yes. I think it was a slam dunk for Chip Cox to win it. I mean,
what about Paradis?
I mean, it could have went either way.
Okay, then we'll start you on the next one.
Didn't Chip Cox play three positions, safety, corner, and linebacker this year?
Yep,
that's what I thought. So, he was all over the field.
Yep, I got that. We all agree that Chip Cox is pretty much the one that we could say was the guy that basically, unanimously here, at least in this room, what about Jones as rookie?
No comment.
Anybody want to comment on that? Is that a surprise?
I'll jump on that one. Easy. Anybody who can come into the league as a rookie and play the center position as well as Brett Jones did this year deserves more than an award for outstanding rookie. It's one of the most difficult positions on the field to play, and he rocked it.
We all agreed?
Agreed.
And the thing is, the waiver to Saskatchewan, as you mentioned, playing the center was starting it is usually only done here because if they had a penalty or if they're holding or something, and usually when rookie into the league, that's going off and on. But, it's a thing to adjust from CIS level to the junior level up to the CFL level. But the thing is, as they said, he's wise beyond his years, and it's nice to see you know, someone grasped the position so well like that. So a big congratulations going out to him. Well-deserved, and he'll probably have lineman of the year in a few years if he keeps going like that. You never know.
And how about Hey Bear with the Tom Pate Award, the charitable stuff that he did, outdistanced everyone else?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of players out there that do a lot for charity on different aspects of things that never pipe up. You never hear what they do.
They're
always in the background.
I agree.
So that's a tough award.
Yeah, and it's just nice that they acknowledge that the players do that kind of stuff. So it, for me, it's less about the guy that wins the award, more about the award that it's available there, and it deserves mention on an equal footing with the rest of the awards that are handed out. So can we move this on to the football game that will be coming up?
Yes.
Yay.
There we go. Okay. First of all.
What football game?
The football game. Yes, the football game.
The season's over, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the season's over. Yeah, as far as the awards are concerned, the season's over. I did mention earlier, for those of you that didn't hear my mention, is one of the important questions, I guess. We'll start with the most important question that was asked of the coaches, and that is about sex before the game. I just think it was presumptuous of the news media to assume that these guys liked each other.
Oh! Oh, man. You know what? The only one from experience that we can ask that question, Corey, has that ever been a problem for you?
No comment.
No comment at all.
You're a smart man, Corey.
I have nothing to say on that one.
Especially on the road.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Corey say, leave him out of it.
My name's Bennett and I ain't in it.
There you go. It is what it is. Okay. Seriously, though, these two teams now are settling into basically knowing that they're ready to play. I'll start with each of you. First of all, what do you think the fans need to know about this game? And I'll start with you, Corey, that they should know that they don't know. And I'm talking specifically about this game, the bigger picture, anything inside the fishbowl. What do you think is something the fans should watch out for in the game that will be special?
Focus. You know, I think the team that comes out and stays focused through all of the hype and all of the emotion, they can't let it get to their heads. They have to just get out there and, you know, just stick to what got them there in the first place, and that's playing, you know, great defense, putting up points on offense and you know, keeping the ball, you know, on keeping the opponent on, you know, on their side of the line as far as special teams. So the fans need to know that there needs to be great importance as far as detail to everything that you've done throughout the season. And, you know, the team that has the greater will come out the winner.
Aaron William Freeland, as a piece of advice, the team in green will be Saskatchewan. And the team in black and yellow will be the Ticats, and they play out of Hamilton. Do you have any advice for anyone, or is there something you're looking for in the game, you know, either as a surprise or something you're hoping to see?
I'm just looking for Hamilton to show up. That would be a nice start. Because I'd hate to see a game where, you know, it's all on the line and then, you know, it's basically empty suits on the other end of the field. That would just absolutely suck.
Okay.
So that's all really I'm hoping for at this point, is I'm hoping Hamilton shows up and at least makes a game out of it.
All right, so you're one of those people that believes, like Manasseh, that this game could get away from Hamilton.
Oh, easily, in a heartbeat.
John, do you feel the same way? And once you answer that question, what you're looking for in the game?
Okay, now Bruce is going to, you know, this is not fair. As an Argo fan, just like as a Ticat fan,
it's in our nature not to be able to cheer for each other, okay? Now, I'm cheering because I like to keep it in the East. They bet us, and they moved on. So you'll like to kind of have that feeling, well, if they bet us, they should be able to win the whole thing. But reality sets in. I'm a hardcore Argo fan. There's no way in my blood and soul that I'm allowed to cheer for the Ticats, and that's all due to, that's big respect to them, okay? I just can't. I have to go with my brain. I don't know what you can say about that, but I have to pick the Riders all the way. Weather conditions, home field advantage, the desire, the bad taste in their mouths from that last Grey Cup where they blew it, you know, with the extra man, and to have the opportunity to make up for that, the formula is just setting up for them to take it. And because I'm an Argo diehard, on top of that, again, I like to keep it in the East, but I got to go with the mine pick, and that's the Riders.
Okay. I want to ask Bruce John Inch what he thinks, but unfortunately he's not feeling well, and so he has – well, he went to walk his dog. Aaron, don't worry.
Maybe,
Aaron's still here.
Maybe
he went to walk
devastated.
His dog, so – So
maybe
I'll speak for Bruce, and Bruce is going to say that Oski Wee-Wee is going to empower the Hamilton Tiger Cats to surprise, like Corey says. Corey's a good man. I understand what he's saying, and he understands where I'm coming from, me being Bruce John Inch. I believe the Hamilton Tiger Cats have it within them to win because they've had a great year, and nobody's picked them to make it this far, so why not make it the rest of the way? Okay, now we'll go to Manasseh with a counterpoint.
Yeah, I just I can see on Facebook we got a couple Ticat fans listening in. I got Phyllis and Vito, but just got to say to them, look, at the end of the day, even if Hamilton loses, it was a great year, right? How many of us really expected them to be in the Grey Cup? And they beat the Argos. They totally punked the Argos in their house, walked in, fans took over the building. They pulled off a huge comeback, won, and next year they're getting a new stadium. So whatever happens, it's all good in Ticat land. In Saskatchewan, if the Riders lose, it's literally the end of the world for that fan base because they built this team to win this year. It's at home. They have to win it, period. There's no other possible option for them.
There you go. Manasseh, if I told you that there's somebody in this room who actually picked Hamilton to make it to the Grey Cup and said it live on this program, on this show, would you be surprised?
I think that was you, right?
That's right.
Oh, wasn't it like in Edmonton? Wasn't that Edmonton
No,
the
no,
whole
no.
Year?
I said that was my mistake with Edmonton. I had a lot more faith in Edmonton than I should have. No, but John, you know this is true. I said it at the beginning of the year before even the year started that if the Argos didn't play the way they should in the playoff game, they could get surprised by Hamilton because really Hamilton will be coming out of nowhere. And that's essentially what's happened. You know, they came out of nowhere, and they could still come out of nowhere with Saskatchewan, the difference being that Saskatchewan has a lot more, like Manasseh says, they have a lot more power, but that just makes the surprise that much bigger. But I think they also have the advantage of seeing that Hamilton took down Toronto pretty good, and they made a quarterback that was up for MOP look pretty ordinary in the second half.
And didn't John say heading into that game that was like almost like the real Grey Cup for the Argos and for Hamilton, that
of
East
course.
Final?
Of
and
course.
Look, I mean, even if the Ticats lose, Ticat fans are never going to forget the way they just totally walked in there and just punked the Argos. I mean, that was...
There you go.
They beat
that
your team, plus they took over your stadium. That was like... I mean, that's probably the greatest moment in the history of the Hamilton
but,
Tiger Cats.
Mike, you know what? That was true, and that happened. But it can't be the ending that they have to, you know, be proud of, because at the end of the day, our comeback is we got the ring. Where's yours? Okay? So unless you got that ring on your finger, the season to every player is not, you know, fulfilled. And the Tiger Cats are going in there like they have a chance, and they do. It's a 50-50 until the kickoff, right? So... I get it. They had their accomplishment, but it still isn't a complete burn on us until they win it. Okay,
John,
that's the bottom line.
John, your exact words were, and I want to make sure I say it correctly because it's very important how I word this. The two words you were used, three words were the mini Grey Cup, not the Grey Cup, the mini Grey Cup. In other words, just like making it to the Grey Cup not many people remember who makes it to the Grey Cup. You know, everyone remembers only who wins it. The winning, it's all about winning. It always has been. It always will be.
It was big. It was like having the Leafs and the Canadians in a final. Okay, and so it was great. And they had their colors. They filled the stadium. So great for them. And I think all their fans are really on cloud nine still from that. And I hope that carries over for them. And all the best. But the Riders, I just think, have too many advantages going for them.
Okay, along with Bruce, John Inch, Corey Boyd has left us as well. I don't know if we lost connection with him, but regardless, it was great having him on. And I know if he had a choice, he would have said goodbye, and I really do assume that we lost connection or his phone died. We've had that happen on this show, too. Aaron Nagy, you want to give a shot? Chris, it's your turn. Christopher?
Good evening. Head and heart are different in this game. My head says the Riders are going to win. They've got everything stacked in their favor, home field, built a team around it. Their expectations are massive. They're expected to win. I would never bet against them. I don't even care how many points you want to give me. It's just this game could get away from Hamilton, or it could be extremely tight. That being said, I picked Hamilton to be in the Grey Cup at the beginning of the season. I picked them to be coming out of the East. I picked Calgary to be coming out of the West. I was close. But Hamilton's my choice. Coming out of the East, I want them to win. I just don't know how realistic it is.
Ironically, Christopher, wouldn't you say that when it comes to being a fan, the heart is not as useful as the head? But then again, on the field, the opposite is true.
Hey, I'm a Lions fan. Where are they?
No. The point I'm trying to make is that there's a lot to be said. There is a lot to be said for having a big heart on the field, you know, because the head sometimes might get in the way. So in the player perspective, a big heart goes a long way. And I just happen to think that the Ticats will have a big heart out there.
Without question. I just don't have a set of pads.
There you go.
It doesn't matter what my heart's thinking.
There you go. Mike Townsend, okay. You want to jump in now? No. Like Christopher, I'm sorry. Finish what you were saying.
No. It's good. I'm good.
Okay, Mike.
Go ahead, Tony.
Jump in.
Yeah, I agree with what most everybody is saying. You know, the Ticats don't have a lot of pressure on them to come in here and win. They played a good game in Toronto, you know, and if the game that they played in Toronto can carry over to the Grey Cup, they have a chance of winning. But also, it's like David and Goliath, how David beat Goliath. Goliath is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and Hamilton is David. You know,
if they can
come in there and play and keep the momentum going, keep the crowd out of their head, execute, play good defense. I mean, it don't got to be excellent, Ben, but don't break defense. And kind of get the Riders off edge a little bit. I mean, they have a chance. But frankly, I go for Hamilton because Hamilton is my team. But you know, if I had to put money on it, if I was a betting man like that, I'd be going with Saskatchewan all day. Me and CA both would be going with Saskatchewan all day.
Let me ask you a question, and I'll ask this of all you guys: using that David and Goliath theme, David had a slingshot. Would it be fair to say the slingshot's going to have to be pretty powerful, and the guy manning that slingshot for Hamilton isn't Austin, but in fact Orlando Steinauer?
Huh. Yep.
Why do you say that, Mike? Why do you agree?
Because they're going to have to execute their plays on offensive end and defensive end. They're going to have to – everything that Saskatchewan do, they're going to have to try to counterpunch. And if they can't do that on an offensive side or defensive side, it's going to be a long day. And the game was over at halftime.
Steinauer's stock has risen, I think, even a lot more in this week prior to the game. Do you guys think it's well-founded? And is Hamilton's defense really his defense and not – really part of the coaching scheme that Kent Austin has?
Man, the guy took the worst defense in probably the history of the league last year and turned them into a respectable team. I mean, that alone is a testament to his coaching ability.
Right, and you know, Manasi, that's why I say be in but don't break defense because of the defense that he put in last year. And, I mean, look how they played this year. I mean, it's not the best, but, I mean, they get the job done. You know, they get the job done.
And nobody in this room thinks with their head that it's possible that Hamilton's upward curve, their learning curve, still has a ways to go up, especially because of their defense and how much they've improved. And their defense might be hiding still behind Burris's great offensive skills.
Talking about this game coming up, or are you talking
only
about
this
the future?
Game. Only this game, but, you know, because, you know, only this game.
I am not writing off the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
I don't think you are.
They have an extremely good shot at winning this game. I just wouldn't bet money on them.
But I think the winning formula for them, even more than the offense, is going to be the defense. How they shut down, and they're going to have a big chore shutting down the Saskatchewan offense. I happen to believe that crowd's going to want to see points, and that's why I'm saying this. The less points that Saskatchewan puts up, the more silent that crowd's going to be, I think. So I happen to think right now, because it's a road game too, you know, you really have your typical road-home scenario here. We've got Hamilton 100% the road team. And we've got the Riders 100% the home team, right? So, you know, the road team has to play well defensively to take the crowd out of the game. And I happen to think that really is the kryptonite that, you know, Corey was talking about. And I believe they really have a good shot of shutting down Saskatchewan. And like I've said before, panic mode will set in. Cortez is not a very patient guy. He likes things going the way he anticipates. He doesn't like surprises. And that'll be, I think, if we see a low-scoring first half or a reasonably close game at the end of the first half, I really do believe that Hamilton will win. That's all they have to do is just keep it close till halftime. Any of you guys have ideas about what the score should look like for the winner at halftime, aside from the obvious, if you're ahead 40-0?
Well, Frank, you're talking about the defense, and I think the defensive side of it is going to be the same thing that Orlando had going into the Eastern Final, had an advantage knowing the former team that he coached under and seeing their game plan and knowing the players more or less, more than anybody else really, had an insight. Cortez, I think, is in that same advantage, and I think by knowing the players and their former defense, and what they can do, I think he has that slight advantage when it comes to that. And then when it comes to the offense, you know, I'm going to say that there's going to be 3-man rotation again for Hamilton, just like they used in the bad weather conditions. For some reason, they don't have faith in Burris throwing in bad
conditions. In the cold
or whatever, wind, sleet, whatever. We've seen always 3 quarterbacks. So LeFleur might be a big, vital part for the Ticats, I think.
Christopher, I could hear you ready, willing, and able to enter into the fray.
Well, do you honestly believe that the Hamilton defense that Cortez knows from a year or 2 years ago is the same defense they got on there out there now? I don't even think it's the same defense they started at the beginning of the season.
No.
That's true.
No,
Cortez has no insight in what's going on.
It's not the
there.
Same defense that the Argos had either, and Orlando had an insight. It's a better insight. That's what I'm saying. Argos' half defense was converted and changed. I'm just saying he had a better advantage, just like Cortez does over Hamilton. That's what I'm saying, Chris.
To
clear it up for you.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. I just don't see that's reality.
I think, in fairness, John, to Christopher's point, the defense that started the season for Hamilton looks, in fact, quite frankly, even this year, the defense that Saskatchewan saw in the first 2 games early this year has nothing whatsoever to do with the team that's going to show up defensively. It's a whole
different kettle of fish. I think the games in Saskatchewan just kind of more or less proves my point. You know, I think they got outscored in the games combined 62-14 or something like that in the games that they had against each other. So I maybe something right there tells you the court has a little bit of insight or upper hand. You know, it's hypothetical. I'm just saying. You know, he coached the team last year. He knows some of the players. He knows what they like to do. It's changed, of course. Of course it's changed. But it helped out Orlando against Toronto, evidently. You know, especially second half.
I agree, John, but I think Toronto's offense, they had an offense that was missing. They won't be running into that in Saskatchewan, but at the same time, they won't be trotting out the same guys they had there in those two, if you total the score, like you said, the 32-0 shellacking in Hamilton. I think it was in Hamilton even, wasn't it? Wasn't it at a home loss of 32-0 or something, guys?
No, the one at Saskatchewan was 37-0, and the one at Guelph was 30-something to like 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of the Argos missing a guy, man, you guys could have used Corey Boyd in the second half of that East final. He would have been the perfect fit, just a guy to eat up the clock and run the ball. That's what
we
could have
used him in the first half.
I can't argue that.
You know, I'm surprised after Kakkerd went down, they didn't go out and sign him. Like, he would have been a perfect fit.
I think there was a lot of politics there.
Yeah, shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm looking,
you know,
forward to
they thought they had.
In Ottawa.
Listen, I thought Jarius could have done better. He didn't. You know, Jarius is. I just don't think the schemes were there to make Jarius look good, in my opinion.
No, it wasn't.
You know, he didn't get a real good chance to be successful. I think they relied too much on Ricky's arm, and then when Ricky's arm didn't work in the second half, it really put them, you know, up against it. But anyway, the Grey Cup. You know, we've got Burris. Burris has played two games this year against Saskatchewan. He knows what their defense looks like. In fairness, just to be specific, there have been, other than bringing Hall in, the sack leader in Winnipeg, have there been that many changes in Saskatchewan defensively?
They just got Weldon Brown.
Is that Aaron snoring again, Frank? I think it is.
No.
Aaron Freeland. He fell asleep on the air again.
No, he didn't. You're imagining things.
What about Aaron? Is Aaron Nagby still there, or did he leave too?
Yeah, Aaron's here. Aaron Nagby's here.
Yes, I don't think he made his picks for who's winning and what's the score.
Well, yeah, we've got. Okay, you want me to review that while we still have 18 minutes left? I said 31-28 Hamilton. Bruce said 31-27 Hamilton. BJ said 28-21 Hamilton. Manasseh said 35-21 Saskatchewan. Mike said 36-33 Hamilton. Christopher said 35-26 Christopher said 35-26 or 27 Saskatchewan. Andrew said 37-13. So Aaron Nagy, what do you think the score is going to be?
Drum roll, please.
Okay.
Hang on. You want a drum roll? Okay.
Drum
who wants
roll.
To do the drum roll?
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Is that a drum roll or a vibrator? What was that?
My wife wants it back. I'm telling you what it is. Go ahead, Maggie. It's yours.
Riders first, and the crowd gets in, but it's loud. You know what? He's going to have trouble Saskatchewan because he's going to have trouble playing in Saskatchewan kind of playoff games. And, you know, the crowd's in it. They're going to have to limit their penalties. He's going to come down to discipline. And, you know, Saskatchewan had trouble with discipline early in the year. So that's something that can put them in the butt. But Saskatchewan crowd in it. Hamilton, you know, with the offside procedure, time counts. BC had trouble with that earlier. West semifinal had about 4 times that they had time violations and procedures and that. So, definitely affect the outcome of the game. So it's a thing to come down to play position football, who plays and you know what, Kent Dawson, I worked
worked with him when I worked with Riders in 2007, volunteer, and to know him there. I'm just a stickler for detail. He's going to have guys prepared, and it's just hard fought battle, but you know what, I think Rider Pride is going to win this one. Because of the fact that they have nothing to lose. And they went a big before. It's a couple of $1 win.
Whoa.
They did that. So it was 3826 the green guy.
What was that again?
Is it just my fault, or is everybody else getting that same kind of breakup on his?
I didn't understand a word he said.
Okay,
literally, it sounded like a DJ was like cutting in. That was
Aaron, let's try this. Say the score real slowly in between. So give us your Saskatchewan number, and then give us, because obviously we're getting all the terrible feedback. And
yes.
Okay, give us your score.
38-26.
38-26. 38. Okay. I like it. Frank, I don't believe my score is there. I don't think I ever gave one, but I don't see the Ticats getting more than one touchdown and three
field
goals.
You said goodbye before we had a chance.
Well, hello.
So what are you calling it?
Ticats 16, Riders 35.
Yes.
Wow.
There it is.
Wow.
Finally, the voice of reason.
No, just common sense. Sorry.
Personally, I don't think it's common sense. I think it's nonsense.
Humbug!
Well, there you go. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question one at a time. What do you see as... now, this is a tough question. What do you see... Or who do you see as the big play of the game that's going to make the difference, assuming it's going to be close and assuming there's going to be, using that TSN term, a turning point? Will there be a turning point? If there is, what will it be, starting with you, John?
Okay, turnovers are going to be the issue here. Because of the weather conditions, because that ball is going to feel like a frozen big snowball, I have a feeling that the turnovers are going to be the issue, and whoever's got a better grip on that ball is going to come out on top. And I think this is where Hamilton might get some sort of advantage. If they get some turnovers in their favor, then, you know, the score can be totally different. But I'm just saying, if we're talking offense against defense and back and forth, I just think the turnovers might be the surprise here.
Very good, because I believe you're right. That sounds good, because that's going to be a key. Takeaways is going to be really important. Manasse?
Yeah, what are we saying the factors of who's going to win?
No. What do you see as the key to victory on Sunday? Other than the obvious that's been stated already, like something a little more subtle, like John said. John said that he brought in something new. The turnovers are going to tell the story. Interceptions, fumbles, the wind, an unlucky play where the wrong player gets hurt.
Yeah, I think I don't think the weather is going to be as big of a factor because the forecast says it's supposed to be 0 Celsius, and for those in the States, that's like 32 degrees. And, so it's not going to be as bad as it's been, and I think at the end of the day it's not going to be as big of a factor. I think the biggest thing that's going to determine the game is the trenches. I just think the defensive line for Saskatchewan is – you're just going to see Hamilton's offensive line pushed back into Henry so many times, and this is a game I think John Chick is going to step up and have a huge game. He may not have the sacks, but you're going to see him in Burris's face over and over again. And Burris, if you get in his face and you fluster him, man, it's interception city. I think he's going to throw 3 or 4 picks, really. And I wouldn't be surprised if Austin gets so pissed off and he pulls him and brings in LeFevre, or the noodle arm quarterback, and we can all see how that plays out. So Hamilton's going to get killed. They're going to get absolutely annihilated. This game is totally set up for them to get absolutely blown out.
Do we all agree that it might be a tough night for Burris to survive the game?
All three quarterbacks.
Yes, all three. Because I'm going to tell you, if Burris gets to the point where he's not playing well,
and Ken Austin wants to yank him, we got to remember something. They don't have no pressure, so Ken Austin is not going to hesitate to yank Burris if he's not playing well. And, you know, we're talking about LeFever coming in, doing some things and probably taking over the ball, but you got to remember something. Saskatchewan probably scouted Dan LeFever as a possible backup coming in, but I bet you they did not scout Jeremiah Mazzoli.
There you go.
Man, if Hamilton is depending on those guys to somehow come through and save the day, they're already done. I mean, look, Burris, it's all Burris. If Burris plays well, that's Hamilton's hope, because he's the only guy that's got an arm to get it done. Other than that, forget about it. If LeFever comes in there, the Riders just going to pin their ears back and blitz and dare him to beat him with his arm, which we know he can't.
Nope.
So you don't think that in this year of the backup that the backup will have the backup won't have the same kind of success that the backup, in quotation marks, air quotes applied, will not be a factor in the Grey Cup in the season where the backup has been a big factor?
Not in this game. I agree with Manassi. Not in this game. No way.
Because this game is going to be like those big college football games or like a real NFL game where you got a huge crowd, the noise, the pressure. This is not a game where a guy like, I think, LeFever could really play well. I think this is a game you got to have a veteran like Burris who's been in it before to try to handle it, because this is a game where it's going to separate the men from boys, man, really. Because the crowd is going to be so amped up. They're going to get in the guy's ears. It's going to be, I mean, there's no way. I'm sorry. I know I sound biased, but screw it, man. The Riders are going to win. Anyone here who's even trying to act like Hamilton's got a chance, you're just saying that because you don't like the Riders, period.
Well,
Ricky, I love the Riders.
Well, Ricky Foley himself said that he was quoted as saying that this isn't the same defense that we were up against earlier in the year, and we're working hard towards understanding this defense because we know it's a real important factor in the game. So at least he is talking like, you know, they have concerns and are respecting the Hamilton defense. So do you think this lack of respect that Manasseh has for Hamilton is something that's percolating inside Saskatchewan's locker room, and could it become a factor? Overconfidence?
Frank, come on, Frank, really?
No,
look,
no.
They're just saying that for the media. I guarantee you in that locker room they're saying we're going to absolutely own these guys. They know that. I mean, just look at anyone knows anything about football, you look at the teams, you can see it. It's obvious. They're just saying that for the media because they got to play nice and be politically correct.
So you don't think it's a factor? The fact that you're suggesting that the players in the locker room know they've got this one and they're basically just playing it out won't be a factor in changing the fortunes of Saskatchewan?
They have to. I mean, I'm sure Hamilton has the same mindset, too. I mean, if you have any other mindset, then you have no business being out there for that game.
So they're just off. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
And you know what? That's one thing I hope that Saskatchewan is not being too cocky on themselves, because once you get to being too cocky and thinking and knowing that you have this in the bag, that's when the other team comes out and sock it to you in the first round and have you breathless going into the second.
And that all comes with body language, downright language from the opposition, right? I mean, you know, nothing gets a guy more irritated or another human being more irritated than believing that you don't think they can take you out.
Right, and see, and if Saskatchewan is coming on with that, we already know we can win. And, you know, the mindset of Hamilton could be on the other hand, okay, you think that you're just going to roll over us? You got another thing coming. We're going to show you that we're not going to be no pushovers in this Grey Cup. And you punch us in the mouth once, we're going to punch you in the mouth twice. So the mindset that Hamilton probably has, they know they're going to be outmatched with the Lions, but they're going to give it all they got. I mean, Ken Austin going to throw everything at them. The kitchen sink, a couple of condominiums, a couple of tall buildings. he's going to throw everything at him to rattle the Riders. Whatever he can do to match their offense and defense, he's going to throw it at them.
And also the players that they have on the team, and I hate to use a new kind of term, especially being an old guy that I am, Hamilton's going to be looking for a couple of reasons to drop the mic, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, sorry, my phone is just beeping away. My batteries are dying out. I'm going to throw it away and say, you guys have a wonderful Grey Cup weekend. May all your bets come through if you are playing somewhere, if you're playing somewhere out there. And we'll take it up on Monday. I'm sure everybody's going to be back, and we'll talk about Chris Jones heading over to Edmonton as the new coach, perhaps. So that's something to take care of. So before I get
or Tracy Hamm in Montreal.
I didn't even apply for the job.
Oh!
I don't want a job.
They would love you, Chris. They would
too
love
late,
you. In
wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that be funny if he showed up instead of Chris Jones, the defensive coordinator? I heard you
right.
Wow.
That would be hilarious. You should have emailed him and say, I'll be there on Friday.
You got it.
Right.
How much you offering? How much you offering?
Yeah. anyway, fellas,
you
nice
Chris,
talking to you again. Hey, listen, a great show. Love hearing everybody's point of view. Great interaction. And Corey, if you're still listening, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk about your program and so forth. Thanks again, guys. Great show. You take care, all right? We'll see you next week. Talk to you Monday.
All right.
All right, John Boy.
Can I jump real quick, Frank?
Yeah.
Frank, can I jump real quick?
Go.
One thing on your 50th anniversary of the death of JFK on November 22nd, 1963, it was... It overshadowed another great person who died that day. I don't know if you guys all know this. That was C.S. Lewis's death as well. But nobody ever talked about it because something really terrible happened on that day. But I just want to bring that up because everybody seems to be looking the other way. Meonce, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Everybody, there are members of all fans from all across the CFL on this program tonight. Mm-hmm. Not every team is represented, but from everywhere. How come everybody seems to be picking Hamilton or leaning that way? Or is it because they honestly think Hamilton's going to win? Or is it because everybody out in the league just doesn't like the Riders?
I think part of it has to do with the whole underdog thing. You know, we all like picking underdogs.
But, you know, he's right,
you know,
Manasseh. He's right, Manasseh. Nobody likes the big kid on the block.
Right.
And when it comes to the CFL, Saskatchewan is the big – they're like the Leafs in hockey. They're
mm-hmm.
the team that everybody loves to hate because they're the one
they,
that we're
Leafs
all measured up against. I'm sorry, Christopher?
The Leafs aren't the big kids on the block.
No, I'm
haven't
talking,
been for a lot of years.
I'm not talking about success. I'm talking about I'm talking about people caring about the team.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not, forget about, come on.
The
I'm not,
the
do, you think I'm that, do you think I'm that stupid? And besides, the Riders aren't that much more successful than the Leafs.
Right. It's just the fact that they make more money than the rest, all the other teams in the league put together, which is kind of funny when you think about that.
And it's the same cross that the Leafs have to bear.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, Manasseh, thank you for being on the program. Aaron Freeland, I don't mean to wake you up, but thanks for being on the program. Christopher, as usual, it's always a pleasure. Aaron, we're going to have to figure out why your mic is cutting out. And Mike Townsend, as usual, hello to Michigan.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be on the show, y'all. This show right here gets me through the night, I tell you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Take care, guys.
Thank
have a great cup.
You too,
have a good
Mike, one. Mike, you're going to be able to catch the game live, or are you going to be on the road?
He's
Mike's turned off
his mic. We're out, guys. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but well, that ends the program for tonight. As far as it's concerned, no matter who wins tomorrow or Monday or Sunday, I should say, no matter who wins on Sunday, as long as it's a good game, that's all I'm hoping for. And a good game means that it'll be in dispute to the very end. And I happen to think that's what's going to happen. I think the game's going to be decided in the last couple of minutes of the game, and everyone's going to be surprised of how it turns out. And I'll be in City Hall celebrating. tomorrow. I'll go there tomorrow and hang on until Sunday night. So we hope to see you on Monday, guys, where we can all wrap up our brilliant decisions. Thanks for tuning in.